Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
boy. Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour supersonic soul train line. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Chicago to Shreveport, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
But they listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you. We've got Chad Brown, former Pro Bowl veteran linebacker in the NFL, turned NFL analyst. We'll talk to Chad coming up here about the NFL weekend later on in the show in the third hour of the program. Also, the 12 days of Christmas finally begins its official countdown with number 12 today.
I got a candidate for the 12 days, okay?
Coming your way at 9:40 a.m. Eastern Time. So about 36 minutes from now will be today's number 12 as we begin the countdown of the greatest moments in the DA Show's 2017. Tre'Davious White, who got a shoulder into the back of the head from Gronkowski, talks about whether Gronk is a, quote, dirty player or not. Mraz has his NFL picks for the weekend. Rams-Eagles coming up. Could be one of the games of the year on Sunday. The Browns have a new GM, and it's a target demo Friday. So we are slammed wall to wall this morning. And as always, I'm sure you guys want to get involved. Had that Thursday night game. What'd you think about Atlanta getting the 20-17 win last night? 855-212-4CBS. If you want to join in the fun, 855-212-4227. Also, of course, as always, you can get at me on Twitter, DA on CBS. And remember that you can watch the show every single morning, whether you're on your phone, whether you're on your computer, your laptop, your tablet, or your smart TV. Go to watchda.com and let it wash over you.
I'm electronically ignorant.
Last night, Falcons and Saints, battle of the NFC South. This one goes to Atlanta at home. And as I mentioned yesterday, I thought that if the Falcons lost this game at home, you can rub them out of the playoffs. Certainly you rub them out of winning the division. But honestly, putting Atlanta at 6 losses, plus a trip to New Orleans in 2 weeks, plus Aaron Rodgers coming back, plus where the Panthers reside, where the Seahawks reside, I just felt like a 6th loss last night meant they were going to end up with a minimum of 7 losses, and there was already 2 games clear of them in the wild card. So they really needed last night, really desperately needed last night. But they didn't play particularly well. And I've got to look at Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was the NFL MVP last year. Matt Ryan had a dominant season en route to a Super Bowl that he should have won had the Falcons not gagged it up. But Matt Ryan last night, despite the win, looked awful. And I wonder last night, because neither one of which played a great game, can either the Falcons or the Saints win a Super Bowl? Falcons are 8-5. Saints still lead the division at 9-4. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Ken is back in there for New Orleans. 2nd and 10 at the 11. Trailing by 3. 1:30 to go. Breeze pumps, throws, end zone. Oh, it's intercepted. Atlanta picks it off with Deion Jones in the end zone.
I thought they were going to kick it. So, you don't get those do-overs to go. So, I knew how good they are. So I thought, here's a fourth down stop. They would go and kick it and tie it. And so that's why we were trying to use the timeouts there. But that was really the only reason, you know, move it back some, give them a chance at a potential first down. But I really thought they'd kick it, Jeff. So that's why we declined it. I thought about it because I knew how close it was. But I just tried to say, okay, you know, in that situation to go tie it or go for it. And they made the call, went for it, and, you know, we weren't able to stop it.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So that was Ian Eagle on Westwood One with your call last night. The game essentially ends when Drew Brees throws an errant pass into the end zone, which was a theme of the night, because how many times did Matt Ryan do that last night? I mean, these are supposed to be two of the best quarterbacks in the league. Drew Brees will be in the NFL Hall of Fame one day. Matt Ryan's the defending NFL MVP. They've both played in Super Bowls. They've both led their team to Super Bowls. And here they are trading off end zone interceptions last night. I'll say this. Even though it was a Falcons win, I'm not terribly impressed. And even though it was a Saints loss, I feel better about New Orleans going into the playoffs than I do about Atlanta. The Falcons have never quite gotten polished this year. They haven't ever quite gotten on the roll that they were on last year. And while the Super Bowl now feels like a long time ago, it's still something. And last night, watching Matt Ryan just hoist balls into the air around Julio Jones felt desperate, especially the one in the corner of the end zone where there was obviously no space and he just chucked it up into coverage. Ryan last night, 3 interceptions. And I don't feel good about Atlanta going into the playoffs at all. Not at all. If they get there, I don't feel very good about them. On the flip side for the Saints, not a great night for them. The concussion to Kamara is significant, but I trust the Saints more. And I still believe New Orleans can get to a Super Bowl. And here's why. They've got a combination of elements nobody else in the NFC does. They obviously can run the football, assuming they get Kamara back healthy with Ingram and Kamara. They clearly have a good defense. They can stop the run. And Marshawn Lattimore, as we saw last night, is a difference maker at cornerback, a true shutdown guy now that he's back. And they've got a coaching quarterback that have won before. So Peyton has made plays, calls, decisions, prep to win a Super Bowl, win playoff games. Drew Brees knows the plays he can make, knows the plays he can't make, and usually been making good decisions, except for that last pick in the end zone, which sealed their fate. Terrible decision. Bad throw by Drew Brees. But I still trust the Saints more going into January than I do the Falcons, and I still believe the Saints are a Super Bowl contender. As for Dan Quinn's decision not to back him up on that 10-yard penalty so that 4th and 1 could have been 3rd and 11, which ended up haunting them because they ended up converting, the Saints did, except it didn't end up killing them because Drew Brees threw that pick. I don't agree with the decision by Dan Quinn. I would have backed him up. I'd much rather sit at 3rd and 11 with my defense than allow a potential 4th down conversion on 4th and short from the Saints, because Sean Payton's going to coach aggressively. He's going to play call aggressively. That's who Sean Payton is. He's a riverboat gambler. And so you've got to know that's at least in the arsenal. I'd rather make the Saints go 3rd and 11 on that final drive instead of 4th and 1 and have an option. but I can defend it because Dan Quinn's probably saying, man, they're down three. They're going to kick the field goal here. We know they're going to kick the field goal here. We finally held them. It's fourth down. Except he didn't take into account that Sean Payton is not Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn would have kicked the field goal. Sean Payton's not Dan Quinn. I wouldn't have done it. I would have taken the penalty, backed him up. But at least I can defend Quinn's standpoint there. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. I will say that even though last night wasn't a great game, it was a fun game at the end. It wasn't a well-played game throughout. The two quarterbacks were somewhat under-inspired. I will say that comparatively, the NFC has so much more drama and interest than the AFC ever could hope for right now. I really believe that all six teams that get into the playoffs have a chance at the Super Bowl. And that all six teams that get into the NFC playoffs would have a shot, would have a crack at beating either the Steelers or the Patriots. I believe that. If you looked at the NFL playoff picture right now, find me a team in the NFC that would make the playoffs that couldn't give the Patriots or the Steelers fits. Right now, it would be the Vikings, the Eagles, the Rams as your top three seeds. All of them could beat the Patriots or Steelers. The Saints, as you saw just last night, right now sit in the four. And because of the Saints' balance, and because they have a quarterback that's been there, done that, yeah, they could beat the Steelers. They could beat the Patriots. Right now you have the Seahawks and the Panthers as the two wild cards. Absolutely, the Seahawks and the Panthers could rattle the cage of Brady or Roethlisberger, the Patriots, or the Steelers. That's what's so unfortunate, is that there are six qualified contenders that could all be one of the best teams of the AFC. Things broke again for the Patriots, and hopefully one day, at some point in time, they won't simply have a candy lane, let's just go to work, punch the clock, ho-hum, yawn, end up in the Super Bowl type of AFC. It'd be nice, but it really feels like there is a one-game playoff for them. And even that one-game playoff is questionable at best because they always have beaten the Steelers in January. When we come back, speaking of the Patriots, Tre'Davious White, who was hit by Gronk in the back on Sunday, causing quite the uproar, Gronk gets suspended for a game. Spoke about whether he believes Gronk is a dirty player or not. We'll play that audio coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
Aeneas Williams joining us.
Should I call you Damon or DA?
You're the Hall of Famer, so I'm going to let you decide what you want to call me.
I'll call you Damon.
All right, I appreciate that. My mom would appreciate that as well.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
20 minutes past the hour and a happy Friday to you. It's a Target Demo Friday, so tweet at me. Let me know what you got going on this morning, what you're doing as you listen to the show, what you're doing going into the weekend as well. Let me know your plans, what affiliate you're listening to, or what app you're listening to, or how you're listening or watching at watchda.com. And we'll read them later on in the show, in the final segment of the show. So hit me up on Twitter with that at DA on CBS.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
Tre'Davious White was the rookie for the Buffalo Bills, who was hit in the back of the head by Gronk on Sunday. Gronk obviously got the one-game suspension. Here was White yesterday on the incident.
It's a joke, dog. Man, I don't know what to say on that. I'm laying there. He snuck me, my back turned. He could have broke my neck. I mean, I got a son to raise. I mean, you know, all that. You know, people don't think about that when they, you know, just react, you know. But that's here or there, but it is what it is.
White also said that Gronk has not reached out to personally apologize to White. Gronk basically read a statement when he came in for the post game on Sunday, quote-unquote apologizing, but it felt very inauthentic because as soon as he wasn't basically reading off of a cue card, when he was really asked about the play, he rationalized all of it. If we could play that clip as well, Mraz, from earlier in the week where Gronk basically rationalizes what he said, saying, I was getting held like crazy, essentially suggesting, what do you want me to do besides, you know, throw a dirty shoulder into the back of an unsuspecting opponent as his face is lying on the ground, forcing him into concussion protocol?
I just don't understand why there wasn't a flag. And just through that, and there's a couple times in the game, and they're calling me for the craziest stuff ever. And it's like crazy. I mean, like, what am I supposed to do? And then they don't call that? I mean, it was just frustration, and that's what happened.
Sounds like a really genuine apology, huh? Really genuine apology. So let's start here. Is Gronk a dirty player? Well, Gronk does not have a history of dirty play. So if that is your definition, then no. Gronk does not have a history of dirty plays, of fines, what have you. There isn't an offensive receiver in the game that is considered dirty. I mean, maybe Hines Ward was because of questionable blocking techniques. But I don't know a wide receiver or a tight end that has a reputation of being a dirty player, because that's always attached to a defensive player. So when I get this response of, yeah, but Gronk's never had anything like this before, well, what offensive player has? But okay, he does not have a history of dirty play. But if you commit a dirty play, you could be considered a dirty player. And that's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. Look, the fact of the matter is this. It's the dirtiest play of the NFL season. And I'm sorry if you like Rob Gronkowski because he's a big, fun-loving, goofy galoot. If that's what you like, that's what you like. He appears on Nickelodeon kid shows. He gives noogies to people. He dances in the end zone. Big, lovable Gronk. But it's the dirtiest play of the NFL season, as long as you're looking at it objectively, because it happens after the play is over. And sent the guy to concussion protocol. I find this also hysterical when Patriots fans come at me. And let me be fair here. Most Patriots fans that I have come across said Gronk deserves to be suspended a game. Okay. I think he deserved to get more than that, because that's the bar now for suspending everybody. If it happens during a play, if it's a dirty block, if it's a dirty hit during the game, if it's a helmet-to-helmet, nobody gets more than one game, except unless you're actually fighting for the second time of the season and snatching guys' necklaces off their neck. But for all of these guys, like Juju Smith-Schuster, it's a game. Game here, game there, game here, game there. Well, if the dirtiest play of the NFL season doesn't get more than that, then nobody should ever get more than one game, which I think is ridiculous. The bar should be higher in terms of suspension for the dirtiest play of the year. But what's funny is the quick rationalization by Patriots fans that just love Gronk and always feel like they're under fire and unfairly judged about everything. If you're a Pats fan that feels that way, you're simply blinded. You're blinded by all of your success. And that's the problem here, is that fans that collect trophies from their team feel invincible. They're haughty. They're higher than thou. They're holier than thou. Because they get all the winnings, they get all the trappings. And so they feel like they're untouchable. You can't criticize my guys because we always win, and I'll shove it right back into your face. Allie tweets at me, who is a Patriots fan, as I can tell from the avatar of Tom Brady. Does he need a safe space to cry in? Apology came from Gronk after the game. Again, you just heard what I played from Gronk. Did that sound like an apology or did that sound like a rationalization of a dirty play? Tre'Davious White got sent to concussion protocol. D-Saul, also Boston fan, tweets at me, if this guy is looking for an apology, he should quit the NFL. He doesn't have what it takes and should quit with his health. Did Jack Tatum apologize? Now, let's just stand back here for a second because this is a Patriots fan connecting the dots from Jack Tatum paralyzing his own receiver, a Patriots receiver, Daryl Stingley in a preseason game 30-some-odd years ago, 40-some-odd years ago. Did Jack Tatum apologize? Think about that for a second. This is what we're dealing with. These moronic, bloodthirsty Patriots fans that will simply defend anything. So we're defending now Jack Tatum not feeling contrition or remorse for paralyzing somebody on a football field. That's where the bar is for you. That's where the bar is. If that's where you're coming at, don't talk to me. Crawl back into your hole and please go away. And unfortunately, Patriots fans were far easier to deal with before they were winning so much because they were also realistic. But now everything is somehow out to get them. That somehow people in their mind build personal brands by criticizing them. If you can't criticize Gronk on the dirtiest play of the year, again, you're lost. He takes 6'5", 265 pounds. Let me ask you this. If you were lying on the field with your head, with your face away from the player, and somebody dropped 265 on you, do you think you might be slightly perturbed if you were sent to concussion protocol? Oh, this guy's so not tough. Get out of the NFL. Stop whining. Really, that's your take? Because you would handle this like a man, I suppose. You'd be a tough guy that if somebody sent you to concussion protocol on a dirty hit after the play of the game, you'd be totally fine with that, saying, hey, it's just football. Give me a break. Loser Patriots fans that have been simply spoiled because they have been given a franchise that bends every rule to win every game without any thought of morals or ethics, suddenly are now going to say, come on, stop whining or crying. Be a tough guy. Be a tough guy. Have you seen your opposition over 15 years? You patty cake your way through the season every year. Two blowouts against the Jets, two blowouts against the Dolphins, two blowouts against the Bills. Oh, who are they going to play in the playoffs? A Texans team with Brock Osweiler? Who else? A Chiefs team that can never win a playoff game? Who else? Who else can we just gift playoff wins to? Come on, be tough guys. Go find a safe space to cry in. Give me a break. Give me a break. There are Pats fans that have been fair about this, saying, yes, he deserves to be suspended. But if you are going to sit there and defend the dirtiest play of the season, you don't deserve the success that you have been gifted by that franchise. You don't deserve it. Because you're in your own world. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. So get at me on that. On the Gronk play, on what White said, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Jim Harbaugh is out of touch. And number 12 on the 12 DAs of Christmas. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's permission granted podcast.
And we saw the glee in your face. So if that wasn't the greatest radio moment for you in your professional life, I have to know what is.
I think working close with certain talents, I think in general.
Okay.
Legendary talents. I love working on this show.
Download the PGP today on iTunes and play.it or listen at daoncbs.com and the show's Facebook page, Zap Zap.
Mraz, why did we choose that to promote the PGP? That wasn't laugh out loud funny. That was a sentimental moment. We don't do sentimental around here.
Because I think the PGP this week was the deepest PGP we ever had. It was almost like the E! True Hollywood Story of Pete Pilati. So I tried to signify that. If people want to get in the deeper inner workings of Pete Pilati, we both talk about it on side B, and then we have a one-on-one with Pete on side B. And I think it's a different PGP. It really touches the soul.
You cited two side Bs there. We spoke about it on side A.
Then side you A. You're selfish because I host side B, so that's what I'm thinking in my head there.
Sure.
You got to dig deep for me.
Okay, so we got you on the therapist couch
yes.
this week on the PGP?
Yes, and it was very therapeutic, I would say.
Okay, all right. So check it out, Permission Granted Podcast. Available now on iTunes. Simply search Permission Granted. Also available on our normal DA Show iTunes feed. Justin tweets at me, DA, Gronk said he was wrong after the game. Don't give me this bleep. Go bleep yourself. D-Saul, Patriots fan. For some guy to get upset over this, it's a non-serious injury. Bleep that, grow a pair. Talking about Tre'Davious White, saying that it was a dirty play by Gronk and that Gronk hasn't personally apologized. I can't deal with those types of takes. Those are not reasonable takes. Grow a pair. Like the dirtiest play in the season, the dirtiest play of 2017, because, you know, it happened after the whistle. A guy went to concussion protocol, left the game. Grow a pair. Go bleep yourself. Pats fans, you want to know why everybody hates you? There you go. And this is the other bigger part of this. If you're arguing, he only deserved one game. He only deserved one game. Think about it this way. If the shoe was on the other foot and it was a Buffalo Bills player, let's say Shaq Lawson, who had felt like he had been held and grabbed and face masked all day long, pass rushing Tom Brady, and then finally gets to Brady, trips him up, but Brady throws a touchdown and is on the ground after throwing it, and Shaq Lawson, who felt like he was held in the play, gets up and drives his shoulder into the back of Tom Brady's helmet, forcing Brady out of the game and into concussion protocol. What do you think people would suggest Shaq Lawson's suspension be? A game? What do you think Patriots fans would suggest Shaq Lawson's suspension be? A game? Do you think any of them would say, grow a pair, Tom. Get the bleep out of here. Jack Tatum didn't apologize. Do you think any of them would make that argument? Of course not. It's complete hypocrisy. Now, this is not just about Tom Brady. This is about any of the premier quarterbacks. If that happened to Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, go down the list of Russell Wilson, the signature quarterbacks of the NFL, if somebody drove a shoulder into the back of their helmet to force them into concussion protocol, you can be certain that that guy doesn't only get one game. But because it's an unnamed, anonymous, nobody knows rookie in Tre'Davious White, one game seems fine for everybody. Elijah's next up in Houston, Texas, listening on 650 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Elijah?
Hey, I'm a Patriots fan, and I was just wanting to weigh in on the Gronk situation. I think it was definitely a really dirty play, and he ought to have been suspended for at least four games. Just the rest of the regular season. And part of it is, you know, the NFL constantly says that their number one concern is player safety, and that's garbage. They don't believe that. This is obviously an issue about player safety, and no, Gronk hadn't had a history of this, but if you want to make sure that somebody doesn't start having a history, you better make sure it's a better suspension than just one game. And I think going to Deflategate, Brady got suspended four games for allegedly taking the air out of some footballs. Nobody's going to get hurt doing that. But that's four games, and that's their number one concern is optics. they don't care about player safety. That's obvious.
I think that's a great point, Elijah, and I appreciate the clarity on that issue from a Patriots fan. You're absolutely right. I mean, you're going to suspend Tom Brady 4 games for throwing out a cell phone, and you're going to suspend Gronk, who forces a guy into concussion protocol on a dirty hit after the whistle, with one. Completely agree with you, Elijah. It's a great take. I don't get Jim Harbaugh sometimes. Sometimes I wonder if he actually thinks before he speaks. Harbaugh was asked what he felt about the college football playoff, and he says it should be 16 teams. He said, look at any of the sports that have a playoff and get to a champion, gymnastics, basketball, pro football, FCS football. None of them start with just 4. You have a great model of the NFL with their 12 teams, a great model of the FCS with their 16 teams, and they just increase it to 24 teams. He says 8 teams would be better than 4, 12 would be better than 8, but 16 is kind of the sweet spot. As for what about the expanded schedule, he said the national champion now is playing 15 games anyway. It's 14 games for the teams of the playoffs. They're already playing a lot of games. Here's what I don't understand when a guy like Jim Harbaugh goes off on this. For all of us in this make-believe vacuum of sports talk and debate, we can go on and on about wanting a 16-team playoff or an 8-team playoff or this or that. What we are not factoring in is the reality of asking unpaid labor to work more. Yes, they earn a scholarship. Yes, there's an incredible value to that. They are treated like royalty. They are allowed to take light class workloads. They're fed well. They travel in style. They live in cool places on campus. They got it made. Don't get me wrong. It would be great to be a Division I college athlete at a big-time football school if you play football, or basketball if you play basketball. It would be great. You'd be treated like royalty. But you're still unpaid labor getting one lump sum. It's not like the value of your scholarship goes up by $10,000 if you play 2 more football games or 10 more basketball games. The fact is, that is a set salary. So it would be like my employer's going, okay, DA, you make X number of dollars this year. And because we want to make more money, instead of the DA show being 5 days a week, we'll do 6 days a week. And during the fall season, when you've got Sunday morning football, you're actually on 7 days a week, and you don't make another dime. And I go, well, yeah, but see, the thing is, I mean, if I'm working more, I kind of deserve a raise, right? And they go, no, sorry. The value of working at CBS is what it is. So Jim Harbaugh makes $6.9 million a year. $7 million a year, Jim Harbaugh, to not beat Ohio State. $7 million a year. Well, for $7 million a year, yeah, you'd play, you'd coach on the sideline an extra couple of weeks, wouldn't you? Sure, because remember, if you just get into the tournament, there's salary bonuses. I was in the playoff. Or that huge bonus you get for winning a championship. More teams are in, you have a better chance at winning the championship, so you get more money. It's not like his players earn a bonus check for winning the college football playoff. It's not like they earn a bonus check for getting in. So all these coaches like Jim Harbaugh that say, yeah, I'd love to have 16 teams in. Well, that means your team, if you made it that far, would play 12 regular season games, a 13th conference title game, and 4 playoff games. That's 17 football games. 17 football games. It used to be 12, an 11-game regular season and a bowl game. And then they said, okay, let's do a 12-game regular season for more money. So now it became 13 total games. And then they said, well, let's have conference championship games. Then it became 14 games. And then we said, well, let's have a BCS championship game and a playoff. So now it's 15 games. So we went from 12-game schedule to a 15-game schedule. And now a guy like Harbaugh says we should have a 17-game schedule. But the kids don't make any more money. Yes, the value of a scholarship goes up every year because the value of school goes up every year. But those kids would make the value of the scholarship, whether the football season was 11 games or 17. You can't just keep saying, yeah, let's just keep adding football games, when you're not actually increasing the payout or the value of what your employees are earning. How would we all feel if suddenly DC, Congress, the White House ran a green light and said, you know what? 7-day work week, everybody, but you make the same money. All right, let's get to your 12 DAs of Christmas, boys and girls. We're counting down the top 12 moments of the year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
From what I heard, it was a little bit more of spitting that happened.
Mraz, you spit on somebody?
A Roberto Alomar, all right? It's in my past.
This is unacceptable that we have unaccounted for staff members due to a little nor'easter. I can't have it.
Do you still feel a couple years later that way?
I'm not so interested in it.
He ate something that comes out of the dog's wrong side.
It was a long morning for me.
The time is now. The place is here. And the whole wide world is filled with cheer.
On June the 27th, I had a problem with dog pictures on Instagram and social media. We found out I'm not a dog person, which is problematic for the rest of my life because my girlfriend absolutely is, and Mraz absolutely is.
Number 12.
I can't take the dog Twitter. I can't take the baby Twitter. I'm sorry, Mraz. I can't do it.
Epic trash job.
You are heartless, gutless, and soulless. And I'm going to just tell you this right now because you're not thinking big picture here. A dog is man's best friend. That saying exists for a reason. A dog is now a part of your family. But unlike us humans that can live to 60, 70, 80, 90, these dogs have 10 years lifespan. If you're lucky, 15 years, in some cases 17 years. You better soak up every opportunity to have a picture with those dogs, because guess what? When they're dead and they're thrown in that incinerator at the animal hospital, all you're going to have is those pictures to scroll through on your phone of them eating a snack, of them eating on the beach, and you're going to cry and reminisce and remember. That's how you remember your dog, in those happy moments, whether they realize they're taking those pictures or not. If you only have one or maybe two pictures of those dogs, guess what? You didn't enjoy their life. So I'm sorry that you're not Mr. Dog Person. I'm sorry that you have no freaking heart. But how dare you go after people that like dogs that much? Your girlfriend has dash hounds that climb ramps like they're Tony Hawk, and you're going to bash her for taking pictures? That ain't right, man.
You think I like them?
Yeah, but you should, because they're beautiful little pinching hounds. You have no heart, man. I look
it's
at
just
you.
Too much. It's just too much. It's too much. People are so self-involved, they think we care about them with their dogs every day.
Where I have a problem is when your kid turns 8 and I need a picture of every little league swing they take, okay? Oh, then it's
whoa,
a bit much.
Whoa,
well,
whoa.
I would
You're
say.
You're talking directly to me right now.
I mean, you have crushed Schwartz before. You have crushed Schwartz that everywhere they go, every happy meal they eat, every block that this kid throws in fourth grade football, you've got to see on social media. So this is the same thing. Why do we have to share everything?
Because dogs live shorter than kids.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay, so Bradley Schwartz you're sick of, but because your dog's only going to last 15 years, we got to see everything
because I'll get pictures of Bradley Schwartz at his 40th birthday party. Dogs ain't living to 40. You have to cherish those moments with the dog. You have to. I'm sorry.
I get cherishing the moment. I don't understand why people have to share the cherish.
Because that's the only way that photos exist anymore. It's out
that's
there on the cloud.
That's not true. Well, you can't take 20 pictures and then download them to your laptop. That's not a thing.
And what if your laptop gets snapped in half?
Put it in a cloud, like you're saying.
The cloud exists easier on Facebook. It's all about being easy and convenient. The easy way and convenient way is just to upload. You're going to have your Instagram and Facebook forever. Leave them up there.
So this is about your convenience, not about doing what's right.
Yes. And if 58 people didn't like a picture of Jay on the beach, you know, licking his behind, then maybe I wouldn't put them up as much either.
And that's another thing, is that dog Twitter feeds dog Twitter. And mm-hmm. that dog Twitter people keep liking all these dog Twitter things.
It's a dog-eat-dog world.
I can't imagine.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Why are we just consumed by taking pictures of these animals every single day? That's December. That's June the 27th, Ryder. June the 27th, number 12 on the 12 DAs of Christmas. Mraz created the word incinerator. and what you send the dog to, I guess, when it passes away at the doggy funeral home. The incinerator. What also fails to, that clip fails to capture is how much blowback I got for that take. Oh my goodness. Everybody, every listener sending me pictures of their dog. Every Facebook picture sent to me about their dogs. I mean, I had to do a mea culpa the next day because, whew, did I hear it? Remember, you can ask the pros. CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. Members earn $5 back every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free. Only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices. Every day is Rams-Eagles, the NFC game of the year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.